Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dairy on the Air. I'm Andy Vance, and I'll be your host for today's discussion with Midwest Dairy. Today, we're going to talk with Paul Zeminski, Executive Vice President of Global Innovation Partners at DMI. In his current role, Paul oversees the dairy industry's growing relationship with Amazon, an organization known for its leadership in the e-commerce space and ubiquitous in many lives of consumers. Now, as we all know, as a result of the pandemic, today's consumers are increasingly purchasing groceries and other items online as they look to minimize time in the grocery store and other brick-and-mortar retail spaces. Today, we're going to learn more about the dairy industry's partnership with Amazon, particularly through the Amazon Go, Amazon Fresh, and Whole Foods channels, and how this growing collaboration presents a significant opportunity for dairy. So let's jump right in. So Paul, we've had the chance to converse before for folks who listen to every episode of this podcast. For friends who are meeting you for the first time, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background at DMI and in the dairy industry.
Sure. Thanks for having me again, Andy. I love working with farmers. First of all, I grew up in Central Illinois. Through my life, I've worked in food. First job was at Rocky Rococo's Pizza. Second job was at Wendy's, and then coming all the way out through now college, I worked at Kraft Foods and finance and marketing. I managed the Tombstone pizza business all the way, launched a lot of new products on DiGiorno, and I managed the Kraft natural cheese business. And so recently I've been at dairy management the last 5 years, leading our, what we call global innovation partnerships. I lead domestic partnerships with players like McDonald's, Taco Bell, Domino's, and Pizza Hut. I also lead our fluid milk revitalization efforts. And finally, just like our new sales growth platforms, you know, how do we continue to drive incremental sales for the farmer? You know, they keep getting more efficient on production and outputs, and we need to find new ways to incrementally drive sales on their behalf. And so that's my job.
And an important job in our industry for sure. And you've had some interesting partnerships that have developed on the behalf of farmers, one of which I'm excited to talk about today, and that's DMI and the dairy industry's relationship with Amazon. One of the things I've kind of been observing, I think as a lot of us in the industry are over the past 8-9 months, is the growing desire of consumers to find different ways to get groceries and provisions as we do social distancing and staying at home and all of those kind of things. The relationship with Amazon isn't necessarily born out of that, though. Could you talk about this new partnership with Amazon and how it came about?
Early 2019, we reached out to some of their leadership, and we said we'd love to understand their vision in the grocery space and food and beverage. And we said we represent the dairy industry, and we'd like to really build a relationship for the future. And as, again, we're always trying to look forward where dairy's going. You know, we really reached out and met with their leader of the food and beverage group. And, you know, just a quick background, you think about Amazon, they entered into the food and beverage space in 2017 with their acquisition of Whole Foods. You know, prior to that, yeah, you could order some food online through Amazon Prime. But really, they became a player in grocery in 2017. And from that point on, they started to say, how do they win in grocery? And so, we wanted to get in as early as possible to build a relationship and understand where they're going and how dairy can be a key player and partner moving forward.
And I think that background is really interesting because as somebody, as a customer who had ordered some things via Prime in its early days, the thing I always struggled with was how are they going to handle fresh products, whether we're talking meat, produce, or especially dairy. That's a different beast than being able to send a 27-box load of Cheerios or some other consumer packaged good. And I'm guessing that's been a big part of our growth or development as an industry, is how we help companies like Amazon deliver fresh products. Could you walk us through some of those discussions and what that's like?
Yeah, I think in the first meeting with Amazon, I think it was critical to understand their view of the food and beverage industry and where it's going and the resources that we could provide to help them get there, right? And so one of the first things, if you look at traditional grocery retailers, whether it's a Kroger, a Walmart, an Albertsons, Aldi, the people who lead those organizations, from the buyers to the marketers to the operations and supply chain, majority of them grew up in the food and beverage industry. The leadership for Amazon are their technology people, right? They've come from Amazon Web Services. You know, they come from figuring out ways to win in the digital landscape, from moving product around efficiently in the digital space to the physical space and getting it to your door quickly. An amazing mind for technology, efficiency, you know, consumer engagement. When you think about Amazon, how you can go into Prime and get other people's ratings around the products, the education, the videos. So one of the things we really studied was how do we bring that to life with dairy? You know, to how would we leverage that to tell our stories, the backstories behind the farmer, the great things around the community impact, our sustainable story. So, you know, we studied, you know, how, first of all, how we could be an asset for them. Secondly, we also wanted to study how we could fill in key critical gaps that they may have in their business strategy. And so key gaps would include knowledge of food and beverage in the space and the power that dairy comes. And so we after the first meeting, we said, how can we help? How can we help you succeed in the space, you know, and achieve your vision? And areas where you know, they asked us to help us in was to do a dairy 101. What are merchandising best practices for dairy on the I'll call it not just the digital space, but the grocery space. And an example of that, Andy, is think about when you go into a grocery store, you may have 20 feet of fluid milk to choose from, right? And you walk the shelf. When you sit down and order fluid milk online, it's that space is for sale to the highest bidder. So we, you know, you given that 65% of milk that at the grocery stores through a retailer brand, you know, one of the things right away we wanted to do is make sure that we helped Amazon understand the power of real dairy. And so we educated everything from the size of dairy's household penetration. You know, fluid milk's in 94% of the households. And like even things like proving to Amazon that value-added milk has grown more than all the plant-based beverages over the last 5 years. So showing them what areas to invest in real dairy, not, you know, we had people in the room that in that first meeting thought plant-based was bigger than real. You know, they're out in Seattle and you know, Seattle is a very aggressive, progressive market, you know, and sometimes they don't live in the real world as you watch the media today. And so, you know, for us was we immediately used facts to build credibility. You know, facts around the household penetration, you know, that's showing the dairy aisle at retail is bigger than the snack aisle, bigger than the carbonated beverage aisle. That gets you attention pretty quickly, right? You know, farmers may not even know, you know, it's that big, right? And so the key things that were important to Amazon too is like when dairy's in the basket, consumers spend $33 more than when dairy's not in the basket. So you think about transactions and delivery costs and fees. If you show people, If you're putting cheese in, it's usually bringing another $33 of crackers or pasta, or you know, on the Mexican side, you know, you're going to have meat, you're going to have beef, you're going to have salsa, you know, just things to fill out the basket to get the free shipping, free delivery, and that consumer engagement. So just that type of level of strategy and discussions that, you know, out of the gate was just proving to them what dairy can do to immediately engage them with the consumer in terms of product. And I think number two was also engage with the consumer. Like how do the consumers shop these categories? So we have extensive research. You know, we understand consumer behavior as it comes to dairy. They don't. They understand consumer behavior in the digital space as it comes to just engaging with products. So we helped inform them on how consumers shop the category and all the categories. It wasn't just fluid milk, how they shop shredded cheese, how they shop chunk cheese, how they shop cream cheese, how they shop yogurt. And so these decision hierarchies are, if you look at the output now, it's how, if you go to Amazon Fresh, and Amazon Fresh is emerging, and I want you to recognize it, you have to put in a zip code, you know, it's in the urban markets right now. But they want, you know, Amazon Prime has 112 million users. That's a third of America. So they're aiming for a third of America, but you know, they're doing it smartly, as they don't want to expand too fast, obviously, because then you can hurt your reputation if you have bad consumer experiences. And so again, we're trying to help them understand how to have an optimal consumer experience with dairy, from purchasing to delivery to really the backstory behind the brands. And that backstory includes how, the great things that the farmers do, from environment to community, which is important, again, for those digital shoppers.
You may have already answered this question in a way when you mentioned, you know, more or less a third of the country is an Amazon Prime shopper, but you described a lot of things to me. I could see a big benefit to Amazon by having a partnership with the dairy industry. What do you see as the net positives for the dairy industry of having a partner in Amazon?
You think of Amazon is number two in the Fortune 500, you know, in the U.S. So you're talking the number two largest company in the U.S. right after Walmart. And I think they're very close these days. And so their ability to reach their consumer for dairy, again, 112 million consumers engage with Amazon. Number two is the relationships they have. You know they have a voice, and you know, we don't lobby as dairy management, but a voice with the influence and power partners that Amazon has in the technology world, the science world, that Amazon and their peers understand the great things that we do. So it's having that front and center relationship, right, on to inform with the facts and a direct relationship, versus trying to rely on, you know, third party news or, you know, stories where they get, and you know, we go head to head with. When you look at, I like to tell people, you know, dairy industry, you know, the billions of pounds of milk, you know, for plant-based wants a piece of that. It's a lot easier to steal someone's share than to have to grow incrementally. And I mean, we have to grow, we're already a massive category, and we have to continue to grow incrementally. And so I think you'll see a lot of the people that want a piece of dairy share, well, you know, they're willing to try to do different things to try to get a piece of dairy share. And so having that relationship and having us being able to bring in the early Amazon meetings, we brought in farmers. You know, we had Charles Krause from Minneapolis area in there, and he had a video and walked through his farm. More recently, you know, we had Rosie Acre Holstein out of Wisconsin, you know, and congrats to them for being the sustainability award winner, you know, but they were, again, present, talking about that, everything from what a farmer does in the community, how they, the animal care, you know, all the stuff. It's immensely important for us to build those relationships so they get it straight from us versus others.
You got some great examples there of how Amazon's relying on the dairy industry and how the dairy industry is growing through the partnership with Amazon. What is this project, this work, more relevant now than you thought it would be even more than a year ago when you started developing these relationships?
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, the acceleration to e-commerce in the last 12 months has, you know, really moved a decade faster than people thought. You know, if you were to sit last in June of 2019, people were saying by 2025, you'd have 25% of people order their groceries through e-commerce, right? Through whether it's their mobile phone, their iPad, or their home computer. From, you know, and the number in, at that point was 24% of society had ordered online. Since COVID hit, over 50, I think if the number is 54% now has ordered groceries through some sort of e-commerce. Now, not all of it's delivery. It's order, you know, through, you could order for your phone for click and collect, you know, click and drive through or Instacart or Uber Eats, but you add that up, that transaction to order groceries through the digital space and have it for pickup or delivery is 54%. So one out of every two households. And, you know, usually consumers, when they adopt and move into the new technology space, they usually don't go back very easily, right? I mean, I think you'll see some combined versions moving forward of people still, like, you know, on the weekends, they like to walk and take their time and explore. But you know, when you think about the hectic scheduled lives with, you know, when you have kids or working late or just in the lifestyle, that e-commerce is critical to enabling, you know, transitions in life.
Are you able to share any examples with us of the kinds of projects that you've collaborated on with Amazon, some of those things that have come out of these relationships that you're building?
Yeah, I think early on, and one of the things we wanted to do is just share how consumers shop the categories. In that work, you know, what I mean by that is the decision mindset. So when you walk the store, okay, we call it the decision tree. So when you go in fluid milk, for instance, consumers first look, do I want flavored or do I want white milk? And then if I'm in the white milk territory, okay, am I looking for organic? I'm looking for lactose free. And then after deciding on that, then they're, okay, what fat level do I want? And then what brand do I want? So helping them just even structure the online shopping experience to make sure it matches the way the consumers believe. We were in the meeting and they were reprogramming the Amazon Fresh site to replicate that. And then we shared with them, I'll call it the seasonality spikes for dairy, you know, in the promotional calendar for that they can, that we had MilkPep also in the room talking about when they promote the category. And in that meeting, we're talking about the pack to school and the opportunity for flavored milk. And right then and there, you know, they enacted and put a online promotion in for flavored milk, you know, for back to school to highlight that with households. So, I mean, just simple things like that make a big difference because it ensures a dairy, the way consumers engage with the category. So we've done that, for, like I said, for cheese, for yogurt. And if you look at the results, if you look online, an online space, online, all grocery, you know, from food and beverage is up about 65%. Online fluid milk from the work, that's up 128%, you know, year to date. So more than double the grocery category. And so I think just things like that of working across the digital space with an Amazon, with a Kroger, you know, with different partners to make sure that the shopability of dairy, and then once they click on that dairy, it's real fresh dairy milk, you know, it's not the alternatives. And then even what we've done is in the Amazon meeting, we had MilkPep there, and MilkPep was then able to do things on the branded side, because we're brand agnostic. That's what Amazon actually appreciates. We don't come in with any brand bias, where we represent all, you know, 35,000 farmers and where the milk goes. So they trust us for being independent and agnostic. And then MilkPep then can work with them to do custom marketing and custom storytelling. And that's where MilkPep comes in with creative assets to bring the category to life. To really, when you click in and look under some of these brands and milk, you'll see some really good, you know, reinforcement of the nutrition that milk brings and enables.
You mentioned some results there that are pretty eye-popping, exciting. You know, the early returns, as it were, seem pretty strong. What do you see as the future in continuing to develop this partnership and what it's going to do? You talked earlier on about kind of the incremental growth that because we're a mature category, a large category, what do we think the future holds for this partnership going down this path?
I think we're just getting started helping to partner to celebrate the usages and occasions with and I'll call it number two, innovation. So under usage and occasions, what I mean is, when you think about, you walk through a normal grocery store, you may see it's the holidays, you know, cheese and crackers, right? In the digital space, it's a whole different world, you know. You've got and so we're going to work with them, and how do we bring great ways to pair and partner cheese, for instance. So it's a digital grocery store. So if people are going on there buying wine, what cheese do you pair with that wine? Buying or beer or bourbon or whatever it is, you know, pairing that from an entertaining perspective, from a recipe perspective, helping them build the baskets and what's the right recipe strategy to drive usage. So there's a big merchandising opportunity, but we will be able to work with them on. Number two is innovation. When you think about the future state of e-commerce and innovation, you know, they've launched their own brands. It's called Happy Belly. And really, when phase one, a lot of the retailers, when they go into the space, they launch, I'll call it the, you know, the high volume, high moving items and have their entry product, you know, the private label. But I think, you know, when you look at the future state, e-commerce opens the door for us to do a lot of great newsworthy thing. For them, that's beneficial, but also for the dairy industry. When you look at consumer needs in emerging areas, whether it's, I'll call it, calming and sleep and stress and energy, you know, other territories such as weight management or I'll call it digestive health, that e-commerce space, both with Amazon Fresh, Amazon Prime, with shelf stable, creating custom innovation you could ship to 112 million people, boom, right away is a big volume opportunity. And third, new formats. We talked Amazon Fresh, the Amazon Go. If I encourage people to go and research Amazon Go, it's an early, I think there are probably about 20 opened up nationally right now in the urban markets, but it's a cashierless store. You walk in, you through their app, you scan the app that tells them who you are, and you just grab whatever you want and you walk out. The technology tells them what you purchased. And that Amazon Go is, I call it the next generation mini convenience convenience store, but much more modern food. It's got meal kits, it's got ready to eat meals, it's got a grab and go dairy section. So again, working with them, what's the right assortment that they can carry for the future, and really test and learn new concepts to make sure dairy's front and center in these new formats.
Can you give us, you mentioned a couple times Milk Pep, maybe give a 30-second overview or explanation what Milk Pep is?
Sure, just like where the checkoff dairy management is for the farmers, Milk Pep is the Milk Pep milk processor. So they're the checkoff for the processing side of the industry. And so they more recently, if you've looked at, led the relaunch of Got Milk and the Got Milk Challenge and some of the great creative there to really modernize the message around milk and engage, that emerging consumer from Gen Z to the millennials with kids and bring energy to that advertising campaign.
It takes a village, as the saying goes. So, Paul, I want to finish with this, kind of give the closing thoughts. If I'm a farmer sitting here listening to this conversation, why should I be excited about where the dairy industry is going via Amazon?
I always like to say, if you go back where we got our growth from for the last 30 years, I told you I worked at Kraft, but the people who relied upon to deliver big dairy growth, Danone, spending billions against plant-based, Kraft, being bought by Brazilians, where are they going to invest for the future? You look at people who've struggled, Deans and Borden. So I think what we're trying to do in the dairy management front is really position the farmer for the next round of, 25 years of growth. Who do we partner with? What new innovation territories? How do we help on the farm? How do we help new digital platforms? And, how do we leverage the great things that come from the cow? So we're always looking at who's going to lead these channel growth. And Amazon is going to lead multiple channels to the future. And I think it's great to have powerful relationships with those folks who are going to drive the growth for multiple categories.
It's an exciting time, and I'm really eager to see where this goes. It's for somebody who enjoys both a lot of dairy products, but is also a heavy user of tech, the sky seems like it's the limit. Paul, thanks for joining us to share your expertise and insights.
No, thanks for the opportunity again. Again, been working for dairy farmers for 5 years and the greatest people in the world.
I want to thank Paul for our discussion today. It's exciting to learn that e-commerce companies like Amazon are increasingly looking to the dairy industry for expertise and insights about how to better meet consumer needs and maximize dairy sales. As e-commerce continues to grow in popularity, we can be confident that the Checkoff is continuing to look for similar partnerships to bring the dairy story and dairy foods to today's consumers in creative and convenient ways. In closing, I'm Andy Vance, hosting Midwest Dairy's Dairy on the Air podcast. For you, the listener, thanks for joining us. If you want to hear more about various issues affecting the dairy industry, subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platforms, including Stitcher, Spotify, and iTunes. Or you can check out our website, midwestdairy.com, for future episodes. Until next time, have a great day.